The title of the message today is going to be Becoming Small at 1 Peter, and we're getting very close. Part of what it is called for us to be as followers of Jesus as we look at 1 Peter, and we're getting very close as Peter is kind of wrapping up his thought for the early church and for the church of today. What does it mean for us to be followers of Christ, and how is it that we remain close to Christ, and yet in that closeness to Christ, we are able to be distinct from the world in a way that reflects the good news and reflects the glory of God. We live in anxious times. We live in times when all these various relationships feel like they are being strained, whether they're being strained at home or strained at church, strained in our community, strained out on the social media. We see that there is a time where conflict, it seems to bound all around us, and it's driven by that sense of fear and uncertainty about what's happening next. And when we're uncertain about what's happening next, it is simply human nature that we tend to focus on ourselves. We tend to look more inward. We look to try to protect or sustain or to make things work the way we want them to work. Today we're going to be talking about this idea of becoming small, and that becoming small comes from the idea of walking a life of humility, of being humble, because that's what Peter is going to bring before us today. And the catch, the interesting connection that we're going to find as we go through the message today, is that in this humility is offered to us as an antidote for much of the stress that we carry. Now, if you're sitting in the pew this morning, you're feeling stressed out. If you're sitting at home and you're feeling stressed out, then maybe this message, though you didn't think so, is a message for you. Oftentimes we think about humility or being humble as a title for a sermon or a topic for a sermon is somebody else's topic. We think, well, I don't think all that much of myself. In fact, I kind of hate myself. Maybe I self-loathe even. I don't care about myself. I always am critical of myself. But the reality is, and I love the way Rick Warren put this, he put it this way, saying that humility is not thinking less about yourself, but is thinking about yourself less. And the reason that becomes important, because the more that we think of ourselves, the more that our focus becomes on me and mine and my timing and my wants, the more I do that, the less I'm able to hear and see and respond to what God is doing. The more I think of myself, the less I'm able to get out of myself and think about others. The more that I think about myself, the more frustrated I'm going to become when things don't go the way that I want them to go. The more that I think about myself, I fall into this trap. Even if I'm not going to say that makes me prideful, it makes me so focused on myself that I am negating what God would want to do in and through me, which the Bible is going to refer to as humility. It is humility in the way we see others. It's humility in the way we interact with God. So not only is this God's best plan for you, and it's the plan to reduce stress in our life, it is very human that we struggle with it. It is a human problem that we've had from the beginning of time. Think back with me to the very beginning of time, Genesis 1, we see in the garden, Adam and Eve are there. The serpent offers Eve this fruit. She takes it. Why? Because it seems good to her, because through it she would have the ability to be like God. She would have the knowledge of good and evil. And implied in that is that then you wouldn't have need for God, because you would have all that you would need. You would become then self-sufficient. Who knows if God's really on your side anyway? Isn't that always the question? Isn't that the question that song, The Blessing, addresses? He is for you. He is not against you. Even in our minds, though, sometimes we think that God maybe is not for us. Maybe he is against us. Adam and Eve wondered about that. God's keeping things from me. Maybe there's something good that God's not giving to me. And in that little moment of questioning, there is a separating from that proper relationship with God to a relationship that separates to a one that is more self-sufficient mode. And we here in North America, 21st century, are most susceptible to that because we are so self-sufficient in so many ways. And to this, Peter says, the answer is humility. Now that runs against our grain. I said a few weeks ago, no one aspires to being humble. I mean, how many of us as children said, boy, when I grow up, I hope I'm humble? We don't say that. We have lots of other things that we aspire to, we work for, we hope for, maybe even pray for, but no one says that. And yet here it is the key for us. No one ever gives out an award. Can you imagine an award show that says, most humble? And now for the most humble person in the world. You know, good luck with that. Probably anyone who is really that humble wouldn't accept it. Seems to kind of run against the grain, doesn't it? But as Peter says here, speaking to people living in the Roman culture, which was not all that different from ours, a Roman culture that glorified self-assertion, a Roman culture that glorified aggressiveness, not humility, that reveled in strength and status and wealth, just like ours does, that this is the attribute that we are to strive for, which is why the Jesus way was so striking in that first century, why the church made such an impact, because they were living in a way that was so unique and different from the world around them. They were living in a way which modeled this sense of humility. Hundreds of years later, Jonathan Edwards said this, that we must view humility as one of the most essential things that characterizes true Christianity. True Christianity will only come through as true and as it ought to be if we are able to put it through a lens which is living out a humble life. Pride and being Christ-like do not go together. Self-sufficiency and having a relationship with God, it do not go together. And so in 1 Peter 5, he's talking about some of these relationships, not only relationships at home or relationships in the community, but even relationships in the church. How do we get along best? Peter sets out a path, and he's going to walk through a number of things. He talks first to the elders in verses 1 through 4, talking about this is how you need to behave. You don't need to lord it over anyone that you've got authority. No, instead, you must be eager to serve. And again, that is the model, the Jesus way, that he's saying that for the leaders, those who have status and authority, your role is instead of being on top, your role is to be a servant of all. And in verse 5, he changes and he comes around to the young bucks in the crowd and he says, and those of you who are younger, those of you who are still coming up in the faith, those who are coming and you've got all the energy to help drive this church forward, submit yourself to your elders. And then he says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. This is the clothing. This is what they are to put on. This is the idea that for the disciples of Jesus to really be making an impact for Jesus, what they are going to need to do is to put on humility toward one another. And then he tells us the reason why. Because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And again, I'm hearing that same phraseology. May his favor be upon you, to your children and their children. This is part of this blessing, this Old Testament blessing. And we come and we see that here, Peter is saying that this is exactly what we want, because if we walk in humility, there will be a favor that comes upon us. But God opposes those who are proud, who claim that sense of self-sufficiency. Now, for all of you, Jose, I know your group was just in James 4 yesterday, and you probably heard this. It sounds similar. Yeah. You know why it sounds similar? It sounds similar here in James 4 as it does in 1 Peter 5, because both James and Peter were followers of Jesus, and both of them are going to say, this is the Jesus way. They're both quoting out of the Old Testament. This phrase comes out of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, this idea that God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble, this theme that both James and Peter pick up on, Old Testament theme, lived out by Jesus and is here for us. It is natural for us to feel that pull towards self-sufficiency. But the Bible tells us, and both all these various writers are going to call us to see this idea that that's where our favor is going to flow from. Peter, James, Old Testament say these very words. Paul, another one of our great New Testament writers, says something very similar in Philippians chapter 2. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Now, he goes on to talk more about that, but do you hear the consistency? There is a thread that runs through here. Every New Testament writer picks this up. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, all four accounts of the Gospels, forever is picking this same thread up. If we miss this because we are self-sufficient North Americans in the 21st century, we are missing what the Bible is trying to share with us about the secret to living without that coursing anxiety running through us. Finally, let me just run to this, because in Philippians 2, Paul uses Jesus as our example. He says, this is our role model. It's Jesus. Look at him. Even being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, became obedient even to death on a cross. And as we do use that as our example, as we look at Jesus as our guide, we should not be surprised. I mean, how much more can we be this blind, folks, that we read the stories of Jesus and we don't catch this theme that humility is absolutely essential? I mean, Jesus is not born, even though he's the Son of God, not born into a palace, but born into a manger. He is not received and not announced by the rich and the famous, but rather he is announced and found by the lowly shepherds. In his teachings, he blesses the meek and the gentle and the poor in spirit. These are those who are going to receive this great blessing, this favor. And speaking constantly about what it means to be great, Jesus constantly picked up a child and said, someone like this, someone you would give no account to, or someone who is in low position, or a servant, or a slave, these would be the people who would be recognized in the kingdom of God as being great. And again, it comes back to that idea of in that low position, that lowly position, in that humble position, we find this truth working itself out. And finally, and maybe most graphically, when Jesus, and the night before he would be crucified, he took his disciples apart and he instructed them about what it means to live a serving life. He washed their feet and said, now that I have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. As I have set this example of servanthood before you, now I'm inviting you as followers to also serve others. Again, you can't do that if you're holding yourself above others. You can't do that if you're thinking only about your wants, your needs. He can only do that as we give ourselves away, as we become small. Or as Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, that a great man is always willing to be little. Again, how many of us as kids aspired to be little? How many of us as kids aspired to be small? And yet it is over and over we see, it is in this place of humility, in this place of becoming small, that allows us to listen without demanding that the other acknowledge that I am right, that they need to agree with me. You see, it's not coming out of a place of being humble. It's not even about, it doesn't matter about being right, whether it be on Facebook or whether it be with your wife or your husband at home. It's not about being right. It's about being humble, acknowledging, respecting. Humility allows us to have a conversation with someone else with a differing opinion without retreating to the echo chambers that we always go to of wanting to make sure that everyone lines up and agrees with us. Humility allows us to apologize. Now you may say, I've got nothing to apologize for, and if you say that, gotcha. I say that all the time. But I'm not being humble. There is something about me that says, no, I've got to be right. Something about all of us that we want to be right. Something about all of us that says, I demand to be right. And that makes apologizing difficult for us. And so sometimes we need to recognize that as we do that, this humility that Jesus invites us to, that Peter calls us to here, is that which enables us to say, even if I don't see it as I did anything all that bad, I recognize that, you know, my words can still hurt, my actions can still diminish, my facial expressions can still put off. Humility also allows us to forgive, Even if they haven't said they're sorry yet, we're still enabled to forgive if we can be humble. It is pride that gets us to hold on to that grudge, that holds on to our rights, that holds on to that sense of they need to come to me and ask for that apology. And all the time we do that, you know what we're doing to them? Absolutely nothing. You know what we're doing to ourselves? We are poisoning ourselves. No, there is something very deep and very profound. It is humility that enables us to trust, even when the world around us is crazy. It is humility that enables us to serve and to serve without expecting anything in return. You know, a week from Saturday, when they go out to serve breakfast, it's not going to be expecting that they get anything back, maybe not even a thanks. And that's going to be okay, because we're not out there to get accolades. We're not out there to get puffed up. We're not out there to show off. We're out there because our desire is to serve. And there's something pure in that. There's something very humble in that. 1 Peter 5, moving through. Again, there's a couple more verses that are really key here for us. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And hear the connection here. In that place of being humble, now you're invited to cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is a profound connection. Again, it's not that we can come to him and offer and cast our anxiety upon him so long as we're retaining our self-sufficiency, as we're retaining that selfish mode, as we're retaining that I looking at only at what I have need for. So there are going to be some clues. There are going to be some clues that are going to tell us how we're doing in our humility game. How are we doing in this? Are we getting smaller, or do we tend to be getting larger in our own estimation? And these would be the clues. I'll offer a couple of these. Tell me, are you feeling lately more or less stress? If the answer is more, then maybe the answer is going to be need to get smaller. Cast your cares upon him. Another clue. Do you feel a sense of churning with this, all this turmoil around us that we don't know what to do, we don't know how it's going to end? Okay? If that is going on, then maybe this needs to be time to up our humility game, to recognize that God has us, God has it in control, God has it, and we need to turn it over to him rather than letting us continue to go through the washing machine of this turmoil. Third clue. Do you notice in yourself that you're developing a more of a complaining spirit? Things negative around you, and so you tend to always find a way to negative and complain. You're not getting your way. It's not going your direction. It's because it is intended to be a reminder for us that we are called now to get smaller. Look at your calendar. Are you finding time to serve others without expecting something in return? If you're not there, then your humility game needs to take a step up. That there are those around you that God has placed in your midst, that part of his goal for you, his role for you, his purpose for you is to be light into their life. And if we're not serving with humility, then we're going to be missing the mark for which we were made. It is humility that enables us to say thanks, to recognize that it wasn't all my doing what I have. You know, it's humility that enables us to pray, to recognize that it's not all up to me. It's humility that grows us to the point where we can pray not just for my way and for my timing, but that we can pray that God has his way, because it doesn't have to be my way. That's where humility begins to grow us and to move us out of this place of strain, out of this place of stress, out of this place of turmoil, because we are finding that our footing, finally, as Peter says, here in this place of being fully human and fully dependent upon God. And without humility, we can't be there. Finally, this, and Thomas Merton is a great writer from the past century, and I just, whenever I run across his stuff, I want to just hold on to it. Merton says that pride makes us artificial. What I would say, maybe not didn't artificial, but not all of what God intended for us to be. Humility makes us real. It is how God has created us. It's what he's created us for. To be fully human means to be fully dependent upon God, because God made us to live in that relationship with Him. To be fully human means to be looking for ways to serve one another, because God has made us to be communal. God has made us to fit together, not for us to lord it over, not for us to somehow dominate others, but for us to be His representation amidst all those others around us who also bear His image. To bear the image of Christ means that we are called to be real and fully human, and we only get there if we are able to walk out this thing called humility. It's a challenge for us because, again, we are human, and out of that humanness, we want things to fall our way. But if we will believe it, if we can trust it, if we will see it, that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He gives favor to those who are humble, then we will begin to find this is how it is that we can begin to live a less stressed life, because we can then cast our cares and anxieties upon Him. Father, I thank You for the opportunity we have, and in the opportunity not only to this day to hear Your word, but also to begin to move in a way that follows in the steps of Christ, that begins to live out the commands of Your word, that begins to enable us not just to have an onerous new way of living, but a way of living that will help set us free. Father, we recognize that it is not in vogue to seek after being humble, and it's not a magic bullet that we can take a pill and become humble overnight. It is something that You invite us to live and to work on. So God, help us in this day to recognize Your gifts to us, to live in a heightened awareness of Your presence with us and Your guidance for us. Help us to find our place in our walk with You that gives us this path to Your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.